without realizing, I've also written about vulnerabilities within a closed, somewhat carceral network, just like Anna. So hopefully not too repetitive for you. So what I'm interested in looking at today was tracing some of the carceral vulnerabilities which are inherent in the Russian disability orphanage system, and how this illustrates the carcerality of an institution that we may not think of as a typical carceral institution, that then that sits somewhere uneasily on a continuum of between care and control. So it's just a brief overview of what I wanted to talk about today. I just wanted to initially begin with an overview of some of the literatures that I'm interested in speaking to in this. So I'm going to talk a little bit about children's carceral mobilities. I'm then going to move briefly to talk a little bit about the orphanage as a concept, as an institution, and potentially as a carceral space. And then followed by a discussion of my context and research methods. I'll breeze through that relatively quickly to move on to three typologies of care, which I care mobility, which I believe are inherent in the Russian orphanage system, that illustrate the carceral nature of this system and complicate our understanding of not only what could potentially be seen as a carceral institution, but also what constitutes care. So the three forms of mobility that I'm interested in looking at is mobility as a form of containment, punitive mobilities, and then mobility, but also perhaps more so a form of immobility as a complex form of care, which is the reason that I've put a question mark there, because I believe it bears quite a lot of consideration. So in terms of children's mobilities, children's carceral mobilities, children's mobilities have been discussed and explored quite extensively within geography, tended to be valued from a rights-based perspective, as in the right to mobility for children and young people. There's a sense that movement, mobilities matter, that they're important for children and young people. And a lot of studies have lamented the seemingly diminishing spatial range of children today, framing mobility as something that is necessarily intertwined with well-being, progress and freedom. And while attention has been paid to the extent that these mobilities might be shaped by adults, or they may be interdependent rather than purely independent, less has been said or less has been considered about the ways in which they may be coerced, constrained, disciplined, and perhaps even punitive, although see Anna's work. And I think such forms of mobility are throughout the Russian orphanage system, but for the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to focus on where my research was situated, which is in the Russian, the disability arm of this institutional network. It's worth saying a few words just about the orphanage itself as a concept. It tends to be strangely somewhat absent from the wider literature and geography, and this is odd given that it bears as an institution a striking number of similarities to other institutional environments that have received considerable attention from institutional geographers, mental health geographers, and carceral geographers. As an institutional space, it's variously been understood to have provided, perhaps problematically, shelter or salvation to destitute children, or to have caused some of the most vulnerable children considerable psychological and physiological harm, as understood as a space of emotional deprivation. Fundamentally, it should be understood as an institutional home, however problematic they may seem, for those children within it. And for them, it really represents their everyday. A lot of the literature around children talks about the everyday of childhood, but ignores those experienced secure settings or institutional settings such as these. Crucially, inhabitants of orphanages often find themselves involuntarily drawn into such spaces following what we would term crisis conditions in the family, and at times subject to punitive and coercive techniques which are often interlinked with movement. And such processes and techniques indicate a need to consider the orphanage a carceral space. So in terms of the research context where it took place and some of the methods that were involved in it, I think what's important to bear in mind is that in contrast to a lot of Western European countries, Russia retains a really vast network of residential care institutions for children without parental care. This network is typically closed to outsiders, as you might suspect, given it's a sensitive care environment. many of the children inhabiting these institutional spaces would be termed social orphans, which means that they do have parents, but the parents are considered to be unwilling or unable, or they are unwilling or unable to care for these children. What's particular about the Russian orphanage system as a hangover from the Soviet system is that once leaving the baby home into the wider network at the age of around three, the children will undergo an assessment by a commission known as the Psychological Medical Pedagogical Commission, PMPC. The commission will attempt to ascertain whether or not the child has any developmental lags or disabilities, and should the commission ascertain this or decide that, that the child does have some form of disability, the child will make their way into one of eight different disability institutions. If the commission decides that the child does not have any developmental issues or disabilities, they will make their way into a separate strand of the Russian orphanage system. So the system sort of forks at the age of three. And my research was based in the network for children with disabilities. So eight different types, and this research was partially an ethnography of the eighth type of institution, which is an institution for children with intellectual disabilities. So this orphanage was quite large. It was home to just over 400 children. They lived across four different buildings. I was situated in the third building, where I embedded myself with an NGO, which was made up of volunteers, providing daily activities, socio-emotional contact for the children, and critically for the purposes of this paper, they were often mobilising the children. The children spent a lot of their time in these conjoined day and bedrooms, unless someone took them out to move them around the building or possibly even outside, and this is often what the volunteers did. So I conducted participant observation of the volunteer activities for the children and also the orphanage staff activities as they went about their daily caring activities. And I was doing that for about 2 months, and then I spent a further 3 months in a different Russian city interviewing experts with experience of the system, so pediatricians, psychiatrists, NGOs working with the system, policymakers, lawyers, and then also some care leavers, and then finally I also interviewed someone who had adopted from the system. So coming to the mobilities which are inherent in this system. So the first form of mobility that I was sort of interested in talking about is this form of containment. So the mobilities are quite complex and multifaceted, and you can look at it in various ways, the movement into these institutions, between them, and also inside them. So to begin with, the movement into these institutions can be read as this form of containment. So on one level, children are moved away from the rest of society as a form of segregation, having been identified by state biopolitical instruments as defective elements of society that risk the overall health of the nation and are thus in need of correction, containment and care. One of the means of entry into the orphanage system is due to significant pressure placed upon parents by the medical establishment, sometimes directly after the birth of their child, to place this child into state care following some diagnosis of disability. The political power of the Russian state is really notable in such instances and reveals discourses surrounding disability operating through institutions such as hospitals and medical professionals. This volunteer was able to tell me about several instances where a parent or parents had been convinced by the medical establishment that their child was to die and that they should sign some papers so the child could just carry on their life but forget about their child. In reality, the child was moved, transported into the orphanage system, coercively transported into the orphanage system. So this mother knew nothing about her child for 14 years, but had been told that her daughter had died at birth. These biopolitical discourses also filter down into the general population, and it's possible to trace some of the coercive mobilities to pre-birth, as I found when I spoke to a lawyer who runs domestic adoption clinics for Russians wanting to adopt from the system. She runs these with a psychologist, and they noted in one of their sessions that there was a heavily pregnant woman attending with her husband. They found out in the course of the session that she'd been told that her child was likely to have a disability, and that it was best for her to give up the child immediately at birth, and she was going to adopt and present the child that she adopted as the one she had given birth to. And in such instances, we can see the way in which the agency of the child is non-existent moved straight into the system, and again, the way in which the medical establishment shapes the agency of the parents, and we can see the beginnings of these coercive mobilities feeding into the system as a form of containment. Within the system itself, inside the institutions, inside the institution where I was working, I found a number of forms of containment, so immobilization of the children also taking place. So the children are subject to a range of techniques in order to render them docile and restrict mobility in the orphanage. As I said earlier, the volunteers can mobilize them and move them around the system, the institution itself. But the staff often wanted to prevent this. They saw it as moving the children out of their rightful places, out of place, and saw this jarring against the rhythms of the institution and ultimately creating more work for them. So the means by which they prevented the mobility of the children included three forms, social, physical, and medical forms of control, restraint, and mobilization. So social forms of control included shouting at the children in order to reduce mobility, telling them not to move around, or this attempt to restrict the agency of the volunteers to facilitate the children's mobility. So Khalil was told by the staff not to bother with one of the children, that working with him would be pointless. So that he would just be still, stillness, preferred form for the children on a daily basis. Physically immobilizing the children was also a method that was common. And I saw this quite frequently in the sector from my field diary. After I'd walked Sasha around the building, I brought him back to his day room, and he was tied to his chair with the kind of belt that you see on dressing gowns in order to stop him moving so much. Medical forms of control, perhaps the most severe or most subtle forms of immobilizing the children to restrict mobility, and it was hard to ascertain whether or not this was definitely taking place within the institution where I was working, although the NGO strongly suspected it. It is something that is widely commented on in the Russian media, and recently Human Rights Watch concluded a study into the disability orphanage system as well, and they interviewed one staff member at least who admitted that at least 100 children here receive strong sedatives, five types, three times per day. If the children are not manageable, then we use medication. The second form of mobility that children experience is a punitive form of these coercive mobilities. The second form is a punitive form of mobility. And this can be experienced for particularly unruly behaviour, which can result in transport to different institutional spaces, such as other orphanages, or perhaps to psychiatric institutions as well. So earlier I mentioned the PMPC. And how all children will be assessed by the PMPC in order to assess the correct educational placement for them. Oksana notes the PMPC has the capacity to be a really beneficial instrument and really help children, but within this institutional network, it may be also seen as a tool to get rid of difficult children, to work as a sorter of children. And so for some of my participants, the PMPC could definitely be an instrument of punishment as well, moving children into specific institutional environments. There are also a number of reports in the media from Human Rights Watch, the Russian media that is, Human Rights Watch, and from some of my participants that particularly unruly children could be transported to psychiatric hospitals as punishment for poor behaviour. This newspaper article notes, which is written by a former volunteer in one of these institutions, that in 2010, 28 of the 72 orphans from an orphanage in Komsomolsk on the Amur were placed in a psychiatric hospital where they were treated with neuroleptics. The children had been warned that for bad behaviour they would be sent to a lunatic asylum. Again, this is the sort of thing that would have been that I found hard to ascertain as to whether or not it was taking place in the institution I was working in, but there was a lot of discussion within the professionals who work in this environment in Russia. And then for the final form of mobility, which is wrapped up in these sort of coercive mobilities, what would be more understood by castle geographers and children's geographers, is mobility or perhaps immobility as a form of care, which bears a lot of thought and discussion, I think, because this is an environment that ostensibly is designed to care for these children, although it frequently lapses into these forms of control and discipline. So it's really the children's micro-embodied mobilities that were often a part of this form of care and were so problematic for the staff in the orphanage. And when I talk about micro-embodied mobilities, what I mean is the ways in which their bodies were seen as quite unexpected or even erratic. For some, this could be simply rocking back and forth, which is seen as a classic symptom of institutionalization. Or for others, this could mean violent self-harming. And I've included a quote from Goffman's Asylums book because I think it really encapsulates the kind of dilemma that the staff were seeing on a daily basis. So if a mental patient was to be kept from tearing at grossly irritated sores and repeating time and again a cycle of curing the disorder, the staff may feel it necessary to curtail his hands. So these micro-embodied mobilities were seen as unruly, but particularly they were seen as dangerous because without supervision, the children were seen to hurt themselves quite violently. And the interventions by the staff in order to constrain these mobilities, while problematic, were intentioned as a form of care. And the result of this was that many children, as you can see in this field diary excerpt, were restrained in straitjacket-like devices in order to stop this form of violent self-harming. It wasn't seen as desirable by many, but unavoidable by the staff, who were unable to supervise the children at all times. And I think it really encapsulates the complexity of the orphanage as an environment which really vacillates between its forms of care and control. And so just to round off with my final slide, I think from the mobilities that I've been talking about, what I'm interested in arguing or putting forward is that the orphanage network within Russia is made up of particularly complex, multi-scale and multifaceted mobilities taking place between and within the various institutions that make up the system, but also institutions outside of the system. And such movements really complicate our understanding of children's mobilities as necessarily independent or denoting well-being, that they also experience mobility as a form of coercion or punitive mobility. And finally, that because of this, we should understand the orphanage as a really complex institution, perhaps a carceral institution that operates consistently between varying degrees of care and control. And I will finish there. Thank you.